All right, you're listening to the Sports On Tap Brothers podcast. We are coming off of an NBA preview pod type of thing. This is for next week, midweek. Just keeping it transparent with the people. I am Sammy George, or Sammy On Tap, S-A-M-I On Tap, on all platforms, the younger brother.
And I'm George On Tap, the older brother, if he's the younger brother. Not always wiser, but young, but older. So
could be twins, you never know.
Some people think that lately, but I don't see it.
Yeah. It's kind of a diss. You're 6 years older. What do I look like? 60?
Hey, some guy said the other day at your engagement party, congratulations on getting engaged, goes, so who's older, you or your brother? I was like, oh, thank you.
Just wait till you're like 44 and I'm 39. I'll probably look a little younger.
We'll see, bro. I haven't aged a day since 18.
I haven't much either, to be honest.
I know.
But I'm just saying. So one of us will hit aging before the other at some point. So hopefully it's the older brother for my sake. You can find us everywhere at The Sports On Tap. And The Sports On Tap Brothers is the name of the podcast, found everywhere. You can watch the video on YouTube or on Spotify video. But if you want to just listen to the pod, it's on all platforms, The Sports On Tap Brothers. And like I said, at The Sports On Tap for all social media.
And I think also on YouTube Music now, because they're pushing podcasts. So I think all these podcasts are on there now. I don't know how that works exactly yet.
Maybe, maybe not. But we'll let you know next episode when we get that a little more shirt up, because I'm not sure. Well, George, let's get this podcast rolling. All right, George. We did just take a quick break because of a Mariners home run. Jared Kelenic, future star, 4 games in a row for home run.
He's arrived.
It's unbelievable. And the first word on my question was Mariners. Okay. So it actually works out great. Had nothing to do with Jared Kelenic, but it has to do with the Mariners. Okay. And speaking of the Mariners, we do have a Seattle podcast. So if you are a Seattle listener, Sports On Tap Seattle podcast, check it out. So, Mariners and Seahawks. Here was my question. I'm going to give you some stats, too. Mariners ended a 21-year drought this year.
Okay.
And the Kings ended a 16-year drought in the NBA, playoff drought. My question is, will these droughts ever happen again? And now let me break down some of the numbers for you, okay? Sacramento Kings, the active streak right now was 16 years. The next closest was the Hornets. So to tie the Kings, they need to go 10 more seasons without making the playoffs.
The most in all of professional sports is the Jets, actually, now 10.
No, no, I'm talking about NBA right now.
I know, I'm just talking about like in general.
No, because I didn't bring up NFL because nobody broke like a record drought or anything, you know what I'm saying? So I was just saying, like, this year Mariners broke a 21, which hasn't happened in a long time. The Kings broke a 16, which is the longest of all time. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
15 was
the half the teams make the playoffs, sure, yeah.
Yeah, sense. The Clippers were the closest at 15 from 1977 to 1992. Oof. The Wolves broke it in 2018, 13 years. Okay. So 16 was the most now. The second closest was 6 years. So they need 10 more years to tie it. And the Kings is the most all time. In baseball.
Is it the Pirates?
No, they're at 7. Tigers are at 8, but that's not the point. The point is that streak, I want, because the most ever in baseballs are way bigger than in basketball.
It's harder to make.
Like St. Louis Browns were the all time is 41 years drought, 1903 to 1944.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to look anywhere in the recency. The closest one, like, was the Nationals. And the Royals. The Nationals went 30 years from 1982 to 2012.
Yeah, but there was a break in between there because there was no Nationals for a while. Okay. Is that counting the Expos years? I don't know.
I don't know. Royals were 28 years from 1986 to 2014.
Okay.
So let's look at that number for baseball. And the Brewers were at 25 up to 2008. But the longest broken streak were the Mariners at 21 years, right? And the Royals at 28 years.
Okay.
Broken in 2014. Kings were at 16 years, broke it this year. Do you think this will ever happen again? Let's start with the NBA because I think it's much less likely because it's the longest streak ever.
With the NBA play-in game, I don't know, does that count as finishing your streak or not? I'm not sure if it counts.
You have to make the, like, you have to win the play-in game.
Okay. I think it could happen again. I mean, I don't know if it will, but I mean, in our lifetime, yeah, sure, why not? I mean, I don't know. There's some inept ownership groups. There's some inept owners. There's some inept franchises. Yeah, it could happen.
Okay, but do you think it could happen to any of these teams right now. Like the Hornets are at 6. Do you think they'll go 10 more years?
No.
So you think it might be something that like starts now and 16 years later. But like you don't know if like you don't think any of these teams right now that 6 years.
Yeah. I mean, who do you say is the longest in baseball right now?
Right now, active is the Tigers at 8.
At 8?
They're not. They might not go 14 more years even to the 21.
That sounds so long, but they could. Baseball's so hard. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen in baseball.
Let's start with basketball, though, for a second, because I actually don't think it's ever going to happen again. 16 years is the longest all time.
Yeah.
Ever.
Basketball, I don't think will happen again.
Because with basketball now in the play-in, you even if you're a 10 seed, you have a shot to make it, and some of these 10 seeds will make it once in a while. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about a situation where you have 16 teams making the playoffs. You have to be very inept. 16 teams to go 16 years like the Kings did without making the playoffs. And this Kings team wasn't always a piece of crap. They had the year of like Cousins and Isaiah Thomas. The NBA was just more, the West was very competitive. I think it's very hard to not make the playoffs in the NBA for 16 years straight because the way that now also like a lot of top five talents are real talents, right? There's a lot of the Zions, LaMelo Balls. Like, LaMelo Ball will probably make a playoff in the next 10 years.
You know, one thing I forgot to add to it is expansion teams. They were thinking about adding two NBA teams. So the likelihood could get a little higher.
Yeah, by what? By like 2% maybe?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying it could get a little higher. I mean, the Kings, I mean, they just never stumbled upon it. The only way it happens is a team that's mediocre, like the Hornets. The Hornets have never been like the worst team over and over and over and over again. They're always like, you know, a couple games out of a playoff.
So couple games out of that 9 or 8 seed.
Yeah, it has to be a team like that, not an inept team, because they end up getting the number one overall pick usually. And with the new draft lottery rules, it would take bad luck plus ineptness for it to ever happen again.
Okay, I agree. I just don't think it's ever going to happen again. I was actually very shocked that the Kings was the all-time record.
Me too. That's crazy.
Yeah, like the one before that was the Clippers 15 years. And that
I always
was
thought it would be the Clippers because like when I was growing up, the Clippers never made the playoffs. Like when I started watching basketball, like it was Clippers?
Yeah, because they were, what was theirs? The Clippers was from 1997 to 92.
Yeah.
That was the longest ever. And you had like, the Wolves was in our lifetime after Garnett left. 2005 till 2018 of Jimmy Butler. You had the Warriors from the 95 to 2007. Then they went on the greatest run maybe. In,
wow.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
That's when like Steph
was
drafted.
I forgot how bad they were. They drafted Joe Smith number one overall.
Dude, if you think about that, 2007, that's when they started to get okay with like the Baron Davis, Steven Jackson teams.
Yeah.
And then got Curry and became a four-time champions.
Nuts. Nuts.
Agree, won't happen in basketball again. Baseball. The Mariners' 21-year drought is really hard to reach.
Yeah, 21 is a lot. Like, that's some level of ineptness. Like, you have to be a badass franchise to do that.
I will say, no one will ever beat the St. Louis Browns' 41-year drought. Never. And after that was the Cleveland Indians, now Guardians, from 1955, the year our dad was born, to 1995 when
wow,
I was 2 years old.
Wow, I did not
old.
Know that. I didn't realize that they didn't make it from 55 to 95 when they made the playoffs and beat the Mariners in 95 to go to the World Series. You know what's interesting? We'll never see this again. We'll never see a team like the Mariners break the all-time win record and then go 21 straight years.
Yeah. That's when you see, like, even with the Kings, it's actually kind of a ridiculous, like, they were Western Conference Finals teams for, like, 2-3 years.
Yeah, and then they're gone.
And then they're gone for 16 years. And had the longest streak ever.
Very, very interesting. But, yeah, I could see it happening again, but it'd be very hard. Like, it could happen.
Yeah, okay, but baseball. A lot of these will never be broken. 41, 40, 39, 39, 38, 35, 34. Mariners aren't even in the top 20 of longest droughts
of all
time.
Well, you have to remember, baseball back in the day was, if you won the AL, you got the pennant. That was it.
Otherwise, you're not in.
Yeah, just the best record in the AL made the World Series. The best record in the NL made the World Series.
Yeah, so it'll never happen again.
Yeah, back then you just had to go to the World Series. It's just record.
Like, and if you look at some of the teams right now, Tigers are number one, and they haven't made it since 2015 at 8 years.
Yeah.
But they're not a bad organization. They will probably make it. Like, let's just put the Mariners 21 as the mark. Yeah. They will likely make it in the next 13. Years.
You'd hope so. Yeah,
the Angels are second. Angels are tied. 2015, 8 years. They have Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout. They better break that within the next year or two.
And if they don't, then they maybe will break.
And then the rest are just reasonable. Like, Royals 7 years, I think, since they won the World Series. Pittsburgh, 7 years. Baltimore, 6. Texas, 6. Diamondbacks, 5. Rockies, 4. Nationals, 3. Then the bunch of teams at 2 and a bunch of teams at 1. Like, 8, 7, and 6 are the highest. Everything else is pretty reasonable in baseball right now. So I don't think anybody's ever going to get close in the near future to that Mariners 21-year mark.
No, I don't think so either.
Unless... No, actually, the only team I was going to say that's a possibility would be a team like the Oakland A's, but they're not even going to stay in Oakland. They move to Vegas, and they're going to start spending money.
All right. Yeah, I love it. That's okay. A kind of segue to my question that we'll get to now.
Okay, let's do it. You really think it was a perfect segue?
Yeah, Sammy. So my question for you, perfect segue. Salt Lake City has put their name saying they want a Major League Baseball team. We know Vegas wants a baseball team. There's multiple people who want a baseball team.
Can I pause you for a second?
Yeah.
Did you see the possible renderings of the Salt Lake City Stadium?
Yeah, it's dope.
It's like they touched it on the mountains.
Yeah.
So it's like in the background, which if the Diamondbacks and Chase Field's lease ends in 2017, if they have to leave downtown Phoenix.
2027, sorry.
If they have to leave downtown Phoenix, they should go somewhere in like Scottsdale and like make it on the edge of a mountain where the background's just the mountains.
It's awesome background.
But continue, sorry. So, those renderings are sick. If you didn't look them up, Twitter it.
So my question for you, when Salt Lake City put their name in, I wouldn't even put them in my top. Maybe they make five, but who'd be your top five cities that deserve an MLB expansion franchise?
Okay, I can give you a bunch of names really quickly off the top of my head. We'll start with Vegas.
Yeah,
because they're
is
getting
this in
one.
Order or are
no?
You, okay, give me the order after.
After Vegas for sure. Salt Lake City would be one of them. Nashville would be one of them. And this is where I slow down already. Nashville. Salt Lake City, Vegas. Oh, Portland was another one that I had in my mind. And these are all teams that have been considered, right? Like when they say the A's, I think the top three were Nashville, Vegas, and Portland, right?
And Montreal.
Montreal. Okay. So there's the probably the fifth is either Canada or Montreal, which would be Vancouver for me because
yeah,
on the other
be
side.
My number two or two or three.
I will say as a Seattle Mariners fan growing up, I'll never forget. Even when the Mariners are bad, you go to a Mariners versus Blue Jays game, everyone comes from Vancouver, and it'd be a 45,000 fans, sold-out crowd, all that dark blue Toronto Blue Jays jerseys. So there's obviously a market for it in Vancouver and in Canada.
Yeah, in Montreal especially, they had the Expos, and they're itching for the Expos back.
I'm going to go with not the Expos, though, because Montreal, whatever, they lost their team, didn't work.
You had your chance.
You had your chance.
Because we're Seattle Sonic fans.
I know, but Sonics is a little different, too, because, like, the Sonics were screwed. I mean, I could kind of add Oakland to the list because they deserve to keep a team if their ownership cared and they built the stadium or the city cared. But I think number one for me, number one by far would be Vegas.
Me, too.
Because they have an NBA team coming with Seattle, probably guaranteed. Yeah. They just got a football team. They got an NHL team. If they get baseball, they have all the major sports.
Yeah, they deserve it.
Yeah, like, Vegas is a city where... You know, at first I was very anti the idea of Vegas having sports. It's like there's no home base. You see those Vegas night games. You see those Raiders games. Even if there's not a home base, there's people
in town always.
And they'll choose to travel. For me, when the Seattle Seahawks play in Las Vegas or the Seattle Mariners play the Las Vegas Athletics, Aces, whatever they're going to be called. Aces is the WNBA
team.
They
should be the Aces. That'd be cool too.
You can't copy the WNBA team, but like or like the Jokers or like the whatever the Blackjacks, like
Jacks.
Some like the Gamblers. That's a cool.
Ooh,
name.
That's good.
The Las Vegas Gamblers. When the Mariners play there, from Phoenix to Vegas,
Renegades.
Huh?
The Vegas Renegades.
Don't like that one.
No. Okay.
Or they should call them the Sin City something. That'd be cool too.
That'd be really cool. Yeah.
When they get a team, when the Seattle Mariners play there, a guaranteed Vegas trip is happening for 3 nights.
Oh yeah.
And it's a 5-hour drive from Phoenix.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Even if it's not.
Make it even better, though.
I mean, even if it's not, hotel prices will be great. I'll get drunk on the strip. Go watch Mariners games. Be pretty awesome. Yeah. So Vegas is number one for me. I would put number two, Nashville.
Okay. I mean, they're a great choice.
Yeah, Nashville would be my number three for basketball, too. But, like, Vegas and Seattle come first. And then I'd probably be, like, Nashville, Vancouver. Yeah. But Nashville's number two, amazing city, growing city, deserves it. And let me pause there. When I say Nashville, there's another city I consider for all sports, which is Austin.
Okay.
But the only reason I'm going to exclude Austin from all these is because there's already two or three or four teams in every sport in Texas
yeah.
that I'm just going to say, sorry, Austin, that you were the last major city to grow in Texas, but San Antonio and Houston and Dallas all beat you.
We're forgetting one. New Orleans.
I don't like that for baseball culture.
Okay, that's fair, but I just think it'd be cool.
It would be cool, but they're not in my top five. Nashville's number two. Number three would be Vancouver.
Okay.
I think you see how Toronto loves their teams. Mm-hmm. Vancouver loved their basketball team. I think it would just be great for Canada to have one on each side of the map, one above Seattle, one above New York and the East Coast. Number four would probably be a Salt Lake City.
Okay.
I just think it'd be a great option. Mm-hmm. The mountains, kind of like another one to fit in the Vegas, Phoenix, yep. Salt Lake City, Denver, that line, like the Southwest, middle.
That should be Southwest.
Yeah, that should be the Midwest, technically, yeah. I feel like.
I have one just like random. Omaha?
You didn't let me finish number five. But no, Omaha should not get one. But tell me why. I don't know what my fifth is anyways.
Well, Montreal could be your fifth, but Omaha, because I was...
Sorry, Portland was my fifth.
Portland was your fifth. Okay, Omaha, my question for you, you haven't been to Omaha, I have. During the College Baseball World Series, that city is buzzing.
Yeah, but there's some cities meant to just host College Baseball World Series.
That's totally fair. I'm just throwing it out there as an option.
You know what I mean, though? There's cities that are meant for that type of stuff. Like, it's not Vegas.
Indianapolis?
Snoozer.
Yeah, I think so. What do they call it? Nap City?
Yeah, like, sorry. Like, I know they have a football team and a basketball team, and they deserve a basketball team no matter what because it's basketball mecca almost. Like, although Kansas is technically basketball mecca where it started, but, like, Indiana's, like, basketball mecca. I just think that there's enough cities that are clear as day, which is, like, Vegas, Portland, Salt Lake City, Nashville, Austin, Texas, Vancouver, Montreal. San Antonio would love. They've been itching for a football team too. Like they have the best attendance I think for the XFL this year.
Yeah.
Like, or I think it's still going on, but whatever. But like, it was a big deal for them because they care about their sports there. But that's why I exclude Texas, because like they have like nine major sports teams in three cities. Like maybe more. What do they have? Like the Rangers, the Astros. They have hockey teams. They have MLS teams. They have NBA teams. They have baseball, they have everything, right? Yeah. They have every sport. So I think you'd want to put somewhere where, like, Nashville is a city that should have more than one major sport.
Okay. Sure.
Portland probably should have more than one major sport. Salt Lake City should probably have more than one major sport. Vancouver should have one major sport.
Yeah.
If Toronto has one, Vancouver probably should have one. So that's why I'll stick with those teams.
I'll throw another one out there just to throw it out there. Charlotte? They have three teams.
Do they? Like, is Carolina Panthers in Charlotte? It's like
Carolina Panthers are in Charlotte. Carolina Hurricanes are in Charlotte. And Charlotte Hornets.
The reason I would say no is because if you're going to give it to Charlotte, you might as well give it to Nashville.
Okay. No, it's fair.
Right?
I'm just throwing names out there, you know?
Like, if you're going to go off that status, we can pick way too many cities, like Memphis, like St. Louis for an NBA team, like, and a football team that they lost. Like, you know, there's a lot of cities that deserve. I think baseball is one topic, right? But then you go to basketball and you can add a lot of cities like Seattle, Vegas, San Diego. San Diego should have an NBA team.
Yeah. Clippers should just
Move to San Diego. Austin or Nashville, St. Louis. There's a lot of cities that Pittsburgh doesn't have a basketball team. There's a lot of cities that should have a basketball team
vote for Pittsburgh to have a basketball team.
It'd be nice.
That'd be great.
It'd be cool. They're a good sports city. Austin would be awesome for basketball. They're like the Texas Longhorn games are sick there, and football is sick there. So I just feel like there's so many cities, but I think for baseball specifically, I think it's clear as day Vegas, number one.
I agree.
And I think you can make arguments for so many. Like, I changed my list, actually. I thought of a different city.
Tell me.
It's going to be number one is Vegas. Number two is Louisville.
Ooh, the Louisville Sluggers.
Yeah. Honestly, if you think about baseball, should Louisville have a baseball team? Yes. Mm-hmm. The Louisville Sluggers. The baseball bat comes from Louisville.
Exactly.
Like that would be like the counter to like Omaha. Like, oh, if Omaha's getting a team, they might as well just take that and put it in.
Just call it like the Southwest Sluggers.
Yeah, for kind of like all those, like for the Memphis, for the Nashville, for the Louisville, for the Kansas.
But you have to call them the Louisville Sluggers.
Yeah.
But they're the Southwest team.
Yeah, Southwest Sluggers, whatever. So actually, I'm refining my list too. Number one, Vegas. Number two, Louisville.
Right.
Number three, Nashville. Number four, I'm going to go Vancouver. Number five, I'm going to go Portland.
All right. I'm going to go move Tampa because their stadium sucks to Montreal.
They're 13-0 right now.
I know, but their stadium still sucks. And then move out Oakland to Las Vegas, add two expansion teams, Nashville and Portland.
Okay. Those are it?
Yep.
Okay. Shout out to all the cities that deserve a team, but it is what it is.
A lot of you ain't getting one.
Yep. That's just the truth. Sorry. Well, you mentioned Tampa. Just like my last question, when I mentioned Oakland, it's a perfect transition.
We didn't plan this.
We did not.
Like, we don't tell each other questions before. This has been seamless today.
Surprise question. We had the same thing in our NBA podcast earlier today about the Warriors. I said, Steph Curry, don't ask that. That's my last question. Although, I'll tell you, Tampa Bay lost to the Toronto Blue Jays today.
Fucking Blue Jays.
Tampa Bay is now at 13-1. But they started off the season 13-0.
Time for Tampa to panic?
Yes, because they have a very low payroll. Actually, I don't know if I had a... I didn't really write a question here, but I'm just going to read it to you. They're the fourth lowest payroll in baseball. Mm. Started the season 13-0. They're paying the team less than what the Mets are paying two pitchers. Crazy to see. They paid a pitcher last year, 3 years, $40 million. That was their largest signing in franchise history. $40 million. And the 13-0 start is the best start since St. Louis went 20-0 in 1884.
Twitter was going nuts in 1884.
Yeah, they were like, 20-0? What does this mean for baseball?
Gee golly.
What does this mean for baseball? The fourth lowest payroll. A team that just paid a guy $40 million, and that's their most ever. They are paying their team, like I said, the same amount as two Mets pitchers. Less than two Mets pitchers are getting paid. And they're 13-0, the best team in baseball. What does this say about the sport? Because we see a lot of teams, like the Angels, have the two best players in baseball probably, and haven't made the playoffs in 8 years, tied for the longest drought. I know this is like the Moneyball method, and it's like it gets used by everyone now. Yeah. Like, do you see a place where baseball teams are just not going to keep paying these guys $350 million and go with like quality players for better prices and have a better lineup?
It depends on the market. Simple as that. New York has money to spend, they'll spend the money. Tampa doesn't have the money to spend, they won't spend the money.
Then why are these teams turning out like just as good, if not better, a lot of the years?
Because they're run smarter. They're not run on just blank checks. They're run on analytics and money ball and so many different factors that they have to actually think about. It's much easier to run an organization, be a GM of the Mets and just pay a pitcher $150 million versus being Tampa Bay and have to actually go draft some players.
What do you think Tampa Bay will do, though? Like, if they get that guy.
Move to Montreal?
No, who do they have right now? Rizarina, right?
And Vondrafranco.
Yeah. $40 million is the most they've ever paid a player in the history of their franchise. Are they going to continue this, or do you think they're going to be like, you know what, like, when we get this guy, we'll give him $100
million? They might pay Franco $41 million and tell him just...
Sir, it's a franchise record. Like, you're the highest paid player ever in the history of franchise. He's like, dude, there's pitchers getting $40 million.
This team is run like the Miami Marlins or Florida Marlins back then. They won two World Series doing this. If this works for them, they've done this. They've been to a World Series before. This works for them.
But how long? You can see the Oakland A's right now. Mm-hmm. It's not working anymore. And they keep using money ball as an excuse. It
kind of doesn't work. They made the playoffs 2.5 years ago.
I know. They're the worst team in baseball by far right now.
And then 2 years from now, they might have the best record in baseball.
Is it not bad for the sport?
It's horrible for the sport.
Like, to me...
It's bad for the sport. I'm just saying if you're running the team, it's not bad for you.
I agree, but I'm talking about for the sport. Like, when you see a team paying a pitcher $40 million, that's their franchise record. And it's not even... Their whole roster is not even equal to two Mets pitchers.
I'll tell you what it is. The baseball next collective bargaining agreement needs to put a salary floor. Not a salary cap, a salary floor.
I think they need both.
I kind of like that baseball just pays people whatever the fuck they want. Because, you know, I wouldn't...
Like that.
I wouldn't if it translated into World Series. But no one's dominating, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you have the Houston Astros who pay players, but not like the Mets or the Angels or the Yankees, and they still win.
And they still, like, so it doesn't matter. It hasn't hurt the sport, like, as far as, like, the Yankees can spend $1 billion. They might not win the World Series.
Yeah, I saw a TikTok yesterday about the A's, which was interesting, which was like, you know, through the collective bargaining agreement, last year, I think they got like $111 million and their payroll was like $40 million. So without selling a single ticket, which they don't, they get like 2,000 people a game. Without selling a single beer, they're profitable like $70 million. Yeah. I think it's a clear sign that the sport, like you said, needs to put a floor. I think that's the solution to baseball, is put a floor, get these players played off, paid like...
And for those who don't know what a floor is, basically you have to meet a certain salary requirement that you have to pay your players.
Yeah, like whatever, like you have to have a payroll of $70 million.
Yeah, you can't have a payroll of 12.
Yeah, like the Orioles last year, they were like two games out of the Mariners to make the playoffs, and they had like a $35 million payroll.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore.
Okay, I agree with that. I think that's the solution, because I think it's a bad sign for baseball if you come this year and you see, and it's bad for the players if you have a team like Tampa Bay make the World Series again and they're the fourth lowest payroll. And you have like, I think it's just bad for the player situation. Like, how can you, now don't get me wrong, Otani's worth $500 million, like endorsements, ticket sales, but like, how can you justify paying him $500 million when you know that's like 10 years worth of the Tampa Bay Rays payroll, and Otani hasn't been to the playoffs in his career?
Yeah, exactly.
So I think for the players, they should probably push for a floor. I mean, if you're a Rays player right now and you're 13-0, you're probably like, damn, we should be getting paid more.
Exactly, because you're playing so damn good.
Yeah. I mean, I know if I was on the Rays right now and we're 13-0, I'm like, how the hell am I getting $3 million in like...
You'd be walking in owner's office, hey, can I get a raise? Like, no, fuck you.
No, like, we're 13-0 with however you're getting paid. Like, okay, but... Like,
but I'm going to leave next year. All right, leave.
Leave. We'll be good. Just as good.
We got a great AAA system.
I hate it for the sport, but I do love that they went 13-0 for the sport at the same time. But I think they need to fix it.
I agree.
All right, team, fix it. I love it.
All right, Sammy. So the Washington Commanders sold for $6 billion. That's a lot of money. But I found it very interesting. The owner of the Commanders also owns, you know what teams?
76ers.
And?
I don't know.
The New Jersey Devils.
Yeah.
So he owns the rival of the Philadelphia Flyers and the rival of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that in general? If you were, let's say, the Sonics were still existent, and the owner of the Mariners owned the San Francisco 49ers and the Sonics' biggest rival, the Portland Trailblazers.
Well, technically, the Seahawks owner did
own the Blazers. Yeah.
So, unfortunately, to answer your question in simple terms, I don't think it affects me at all.
Because, yeah, isn't it kind of weird?
Yeah, no, because honestly, I didn't even think about it until you just said it, that Paul Allen owned the Blazers.
Neither. I didn't say it until I asked you.
Since the, like, what, late 90s? Mm. Or no, since the late 80s, I think.
Yeah, I think late 80s.
And he owned the Seahawks in the 90s. He literally owned the Sonics' biggest rival and owned the Seahawks. I think it's just you don't even notice. But I'll say this. There is something cool about players, owners, whatever, like supporting the teams. Like, for example, when Russell Wilson was in Seattle, owned a part of the Sounders. James Harden owns a part of the Dynamo. Aaron Rodgers owned a part of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
What's another good example?
It's kind of cool that they're engraved in the city.
Yeah, like Kevin Durant, for example, just moved to Phoenix. That's where we are. That's why we're outside in April in 70-degree weather. He was seen wearing a Corbin Carroll, the young star that just got paid $100 million for the Diamondbacks. He was sitting in the front row wearing a Corbin Carroll jersey. And everyone on Twitter was like, I love to see Durant embracing the city, wearing our new star player for the Diamondbacks jersey. It's cool to see these guys go from playing on the Phoenix Suns to go to the Phoenix, Arizona Diamondbacks game and supporting them. It is weird to think I don't know. Who's Green Bay's...
he doesn't have it.
Who's anymore. Milwaukee Bucks rival?
Chicago Bulls, I guess.
Imagine if Rodgers went to the Bears, but he owned part of the Bucks. It's kind of weird.
Weird, yeah.
You're going to go to he's anti-Green Bay now. He's not on the team, but then he's part of Milwaukee's ownership group.
Yeah, I just found it weird that he owns all these rivals. Like, not one, but two. He completed the trifecta of rivals.
Yeah, he did. It is actually interesting, but I am indifferent.
It'd be like if he went and bought the Phillies' rivals, the Braves. If he went and bought the Braves next.
I'm indifferent. I think it also just depends on like how vocal the owner is. I don't even know, is Josh Harris his name or something? But like, I don't even know what he looks like. Like, I think when it's a guy like Mark Cuban, if he was to go by the like Houston Astros, who are rivals with the Rangers, like he has a Dallas team and a Houston team, and he's very vocal and he's at events and he's at games, it's very weird.
How would you feel if Mark Cuban owned the Sonics and then owned the Astros? Because I know you hate that.
Yeah, I actually be indifferent.
Really?
Like, Paul Allen owned the Blazers. I literally never even considered the fact.
Yeah, but he's not vocal. I'm talking about Mark Cuban.
I know, but I'm just thinking, like, realistically. I've never thought about that question until you just asked it. I never even realized that Paul Allen owned the rival of a Seattle team while owning a Seattle.
Imagine this. Mark Cuban sitting courtside at Sonics playoffs against the Rockets, and then Astros versus the Mariners. He's waving that orange flag. You're like, fuck this guy.
Depends. If the Sonics were good, I'd love them. Like, whatever. He just doesn't root for the Mariners.
Yeah, I know. But it's a weird thing to think about.
No. Actually, if I didn't have the Paul Allen thing pop in my head, I'd probably tell you that it would bother me. But because Paul Allen, and the only reason it popped in my head is last night, for some reason.
We talked about Paul
Allen. We were sitting with our mom, and like,
I know why.
What?
Because we talked about
the sale.
Yeah.
But I was like, they're going to sell the Blazers and the Seahawks or whatever, like, you know, Paul Allen's sister after he died. And mom's like, Paul Allen died? And we're like, oh, yeah. And then I looked up, like, oh, he bought the Blazers in the late 70s or early 80s, and he bought the Seahawks in the late 90s. And I realized, like, now when you ask the question, like, he really owned a rival of another Seattle sports team.
I know. I didn't realize.
It doesn't affect us at all. So my answer is doesn't affect us at all. And I wish you asked me this question before yesterday, because I probably would have been passionate about it affecting me a lot, but it doesn't. So my final answer, it doesn't affect me.
Fair enough.
And I think you agree after knowing that Paul Allen owned a rival city's
probably
team.
Would never have affected me, but I thought it was an interesting question.
I will say a follow-up question, just for fun, would be, if right now, outside of your hometown teams, like, who...
This is going to be my original question to you.
Who would you want to buy?
Yeah.
And don't say, let's not look at like teams that like have no chance of being sold, right? Like, let's not say like the New York Knicks right now, because like or the Yankees, they're not gonna be sold. Like, a team that realistically go for sale one day, like a Texas Rangers could go on sale, right? Like, a Cowboys won't go on sale until Jerry Jones passes away.
The Oakland Athletics, because they're probably for sale, and I can move them to Vegas.
Yeah, that's a good one.
An NBA, fuck.
It'd probably be a Seattle team because the expansion.
Yeah, but you said outside of our hometown.
Yeah, but so it'd have to be someone like Charlotte, who Jordan's considering selling.
Yeah, but...
Or like, who is another example, like, you know, probably wouldn't sell them now. But like, recent teams that were bought were like the Bucks, the Kings, the Grizzlies. Yeah. Like, what team would you have wanted to like hop on? Like, Jeff Bezos dropped off the Commanders, so he probably wants to go for the Seahawks, or maybe another team that goes for sale. Like, who would you, like, outside of Seattle, like, wait for years? And when I say wait, you're talking about in your lifetime. So if you think like the Knicks won't go for sale in your lifetime, that wouldn't be the option. Like, for me, I'd want one of these like interesting markets. Like, I would want to like
be the king of Charlotte.
Yeah, like, I'd want to wait for like Charlotte to go on sale, or like New Orleans, the Pelicans,
or Orlando.
Yeah,
Orlando would be kind of cool. I'm in Florida. It's not Miami. Miami's
young
not
team,
for sale. Young team, and I could like kind of have like my whole Disney thing going on.
Yeah, good weather.
Good weather. Yeah.
By a beach. I would have loved the Phoenix Suns because we live here. Not just that, but like, it's a growing organization in a growing city, but they just sold, so they're off the table now.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting question. I don't know. I don't have them off the top of my head. It'd be like an English Premier League team would be fun. I don't want an NFL team, to be honest, because there's only 16 games a year. I want like one of those teams where I can go every night.
That's why baseball would be cool and basketball. Maybe baseball is almost too much too because of travel, but like basketball... You have 40 games on the road, 40 games at home.
For me, English Premier League would be my favorite, like, outside of...
Or, like, Ryan Reynolds, like, a third, like, Wrexham FC, like, a third-level team.
Yeah, you
play, and
like, 45 games a year. Like, not too much, but...
And he only put, like, $2 million in, and now they're, like, worth, like, triple what he got them for.
Which is a realistic thing for us one day, maybe.
Hopefully. Like, subscribe, hit the plus button, leave us a review.
You can name the team whatever the fuck you want if you hit like and subscribe. As an early subscriber, you get early access to the naming rights of our team out of...
And a 1% ownership.
Out of Ireland.
Yeah. Wherever it is. I don't know if I'd want Ireland. I think I'd pick a random-ass place, like a team
Serbia.
In fucking Philippines or something.
And I want one that can make the Champions League.
So I'd probably pick
Belgium.
I'd pick somewhere in Europe. Yeah.
Like Belgium.
Yeah. So
or Croatia.
Help us get there. That's all I got to say. All right, George. I got a little pop quiz trivia type of question for you.
Okay.
I'm gonna give you a couple chances. But let's play a game. Can you guess the top teams in the NFL, team fans, that drink the most, aka average drinks per game?
Oh,
there's
like
a
this.
List for the top 10. Number one's 5.2 drinks per game, and it goes somewhere between 4.1 for number 10 and 5.2 for number one.
Okay, is this in stadium, not like, you know, in the city, right?
Yeah. All right, per game.
Number one's the Buffalo Bills.
No, but I'll give you yeses if they're in the top five.
Okay.
Buffalo Bills sit at third, so you're one for one at 4.5 drinks per game.
All right, number two,
I'm going to go to you guessing.
The Pittsburgh Steelers
are not in the top 10.
Really? Do you know they have more breweries per capita than any city in the country?
I do. You've told me that.
Yeah. Number two is the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, one of them in top five is the Eagles.
They are not in the top 10. You're one for three.
Las Vegas Raiders.
They are not in the top 10. You're one for four.
The Seattle Seahawks.
They are not in the top 10. You are one for five. All you have is number three, Buffalo Bills at 4.5 drinks per game as George takes a drink to open up the brain cells.
Interesting. Miami Dolphins.
They are not in the top 10. You are one for six. You are almost out of teams.
Okay.
you got to start getting some right because we're down to what, like 24 teams left out of 10?
Tennessee Titans.
They are not in the top 10. You are one for seven, sir.
Kansas City Chiefs.
They are not in the top 10. You are one for eight, my friend.
The Dallas Cowboys?
You are one for nine. They are not in the top 10. You are inching in very close to extreme failure. Well, you're inching close to an F grade. Are you a one for nine now?
Yeah, who the hell drinks?
You're missing a very big sector of teams that drink. That is very obvious once you start saying it. All you have is the Buffalo Bills at 4.5.
Shit.
There's some cities on here that should be obvious.
Really? The New York Giants?
You are one for 10.
Fuck.
There's only 20 teams left, and you have one out of 10.
See how long it goes to like at least one more.
I'm going to make you at least get five, bro. You only have
San Francisco 49ers.
We are one for 11. They are not in the top 10. Think about regions of America.
Phoenix.
You are one for 11.
What?
They are not in the top 10. You have, what is that, 19 teams left? And you only got one.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
You're one for 12. They are not in the top 10. There's no way you only got in the Buffalo Bills. You're missing nine teams out of like 19 teams left.
The Green Bay Packers.
One for 12.
What? Chicago Bears.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yay.
You are two for 12, George. The Chicago Bears are fourth, right after the Buffalo Bills. Tied for third, actually. 4.5 drinks per game.
This is embarrassing.
You have to get the top five. I'm not even going to stop till you get the top five.
So I have two of them?
Yeah.
New Orleans Saints.
They are not in the top 10. You are now like two for 13.
The Saints are. Carolina Panthers.
You found a way to get a top five team. The Carolina Panthers are fourth, fifth, after the Bills and Bears at 4.4. Thanks for getting
the Falcons.
You are now three for 14. They are not in the top 10.
The Denver Broncos.
They are sixth at 4.4 drinks per game. You're missing the top two.
I said Eagles, right? The Washington Commanders.
You are three for 15. So there's 15 teams left, and there's like seven spots. You're 50% of teams left.
Man, this is tough. Like, we're talking about drinking areas. They're obvious. It's not Los Angeles teams.
Both Los Angeles teams have made it into the top 10.
But not top five.
No. Chargers are at 7 at 4.4, and Rams are at 9 at 4.3. You're missing two very obvious ones that are in the top 10.
The Baltimore Ravens.
They are number two at 4.7. So you have Ravens, Bills, Bears,
and
Panthers.
And the Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland Browns are eighth at 4.3. You are missing number 10 and number one.
Number one. Who the hell is drinking that much beer? All right, I gotta get it right.
There's two cities that should be very obvious that drink a lot at a game.
Houston.
You're wrong again.
Tampa.
You're wrong again. George, think about the regions. Who drinks a lot?
The North. The Minnesota Vikings.
You're wrong again. I think you were out of teams except for these two teams left. I think you've almost said every team in the NFL except for these two teams at 1 and 10.
The Patriots, Boston.
You are incorrect.
Jets, Patriots, Boston. You said no Miami. I've done the AFC East in total, right? Miami, Boston, Jets, Bills. Yeah, I did the whole AFC East. AFC North. God, I'm bad at this. The Browns, Steelers, I did. The Ravens, I did. The Cincinnati Bengals.
Number one is the Cincinnati Bengals at 5.2. So we have 1, the Bengals, 2, the Ravens, 3, the Bills, 4, Bears, 5, Panthers, 6, Broncos, 7, Chargers, 8, Browns, 9, Rams, number 10, a very obvious one.
It can't be that obvious.
In the North region.
North? Northeast?
A place that would definitely go to a football game and drink their lives away, drink their depression away.
Man, I'm bad at this. Tell me who it is.
I'm surprised you didn't say his team first. The Detroit Lions.
The Detroit Lions. Well, yeah, I forgot.
You missed a lot of teams north, like Browns, Lions, Bills, Bears. Well, you did Bills. Bears, Bengals. It's a lot of those teams in the Midwest or like the north.
Wow, I'm bad.
I'm shocked you missed 90% of those.
I know.
Okay, those are the teams that drink the most in the NFL.
Fantastic.
I'm just shocked, George. Maybe the alcohol, maybe less drinks for you.
Yeah, I know.
Because that's bad you didn't get
that. That was pretty bad, but that was a good question.
It was a game, but I'm shocked you couldn't get it. But here we are. This guy. All right, George. Final question.
All right. So Odell Beckham Jr. said today, the guy who has got a $100 million contract at one point in his career, first-round pick, one of the most talked about football players of all time, LSU, said that he's been an underdog his whole life.
Yeah.
Do we use the word underdog a little bit too loosey-goosey?
I'm going to say no. Well, probably yes, the word.
Is he using it too loosey-goosey?
I don't think so, because okay. He was not a top recruit. I know he went to LSU, but like, you have to consider how many receivers play Division I football in the SEC that don't make the NFL. Probably 99% of them, right? Mm-hmm. He was not like a top five pick. He wasn't like a...
He was a first-round pick.
I know, but he wasn't like Calvin Johnson. He wasn't like as much of a sensation as like... Yeah, I know he's a second-round pick, but like a DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
He was kind of like... he wasn't a Justin Jefferson. You know, he was like a guy that people thought could be good, but not like the best player ever. He did play really well with an aging Eli Manning and like a bad Giants roster. He did kind of get undermined in Cleveland. People did think like, yeah, it's kind of the Rams. Like, what do they need with him and won a Super Bowl? He did not make a roster last year.
True.
So I do think Odell. Now I think Odell was kind of handed a weird situation in the NFL where he doesn't get all the good opportunities that he should. But at the same time, he, like you said, he made a lot of money. And I think that he might have valued himself too high last year, where he didn't even give himself an opportunity to get the right contract. And, you know, he did say during his press conference, it wasn't about the money, it was about being wanted. But, like, I'm pretty sure the $15 million guaranteed played a role in him signing with the Ravens, considering the fact that there's probably not many teams that would pay him $15 million on a one-year contract when they don't have a quarterback for sure.
But my question is, do people use the word underdog too much?
I'd say yes, because you hear a lot of pro athletes use the word underdog. Yeah. Now, if you're Patrick Beverley, who had to play in China and
you're an underdog.
You know, he lost $1 million.
Yeah,
he had to pay back his $1 million contract in China to take a like $70,000 G League contract to bet on himself and then end up making, you know, $100 million in his NBA career. That's an underdog.
He's an underdog. Yeah.
Like when a guy like LeBron James might say, I've been an underdog my whole life. Yeah, you might have had a way harder upbringing than I did.
Yeah.
Or George did, or 99% of my friends and family did. But you were born 6'10", 275, and can, like, jump over me and, you know, played a lot of competitive basketball and was a superstar since high school. I wouldn't necessarily consider you an underdog. Maybe you were an underdog in life,
yeah,
but not in basketball.
Okay, fair.
So I do think the word gets used very loosely in terms of, like, sports. I think a lot of these athletes, which it's changing a little bit, there's a lot of athletes that now are coming like athletes of athletes, yeah, that didn't have the hardest upbringings, or, you know, I feel like we used to have way more like single parent homes. Yeah. Now it's a lot of mom and dad, like, you know, people hate it, like on Ja Morant, like, oh, he tries to act hard. He went to a private school and grew up with his parents, both of them, right? Where you didn't have as tough as a life as LeBron James did. But there are a lot of athletes that did have underdog lives.
Underdog lives, yeah, but they're not underdog in their sport.
No, because you're 6'6", and you're really good at your sport. Like, I'm not saying you didn't work hard, but you did what you were supposed to.
Exactly.
You know, so, like, does that make you an underdog if you did what you're supposed to?
No. You're not an underdog.
I made you squint on that one. Why?
Yeah, because, like, when a team wins a game as a favorite, they're supposed to win. But if you're favored in your sport, you're not an underdog.
So who do you consider an underdog?
Patrick Beverley.
Like, that story is underdog story.
Yeah, even Ja Morant a little bit, because he went to Murray State and, like, wasn't a top recruit.
Like, was truly not a recruit.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't consider Steph Curry an underdog.
Nope.
Yeah, you went to a small school and nobody knew you, but your father was in the NBA.
Yeah.
And your brother's in the NBA. Like, you, yeah, guys,
maybe
were
maybe some sort of underdog for Steph, but not really.
Like, maybe you can say, like, a Draymond Green was an underdog.
Yeah.
Like, second round pick, kind of in, you know, had to play multiple years in college. Exactly. People were like, maybe he's had too much attitude. Proved himself. So you're just one of those people that are not going to consider someone an underdog when you're, like, a top 10 recruit coming out of high school and a top 10 pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah, you're not really underdog. Maybe you had underdog life, but not underdog in your sport.
Okay. I agree with that. And when that's said, I retract what I said earlier. Maybe Odell is not an underdog because, yeah, he did get a full ride to LSU, one of the top programs in the nation, and make it to the NFL as a first-round pick.
Exactly.
So did you exceed your expectations, maybe, as a person? Yeah. Like, in a person, as an athlete, as a human, as a father, as a whatever you want to call it. Like, yeah, you exceeded expectations, but I wouldn't say you were not built for anything because you were given, like, a first-round pick contract. Like, Patrick Beverley was told, like, you're not an NBA player.
You're not good enough to be in the NBA.
Yeah, you're not good enough for this at all.
I'm sure Odell was told by the age of 14 you're going to make the NBA, NFL.
A lot of people are told that, though.
I know.
Patrick Beverley probably told that because he was good enough to play, like, in college overseas.
Yeah. Fair,
but
enough.
I know what you mean. Like, when Odell was a projected first-round pick in the NFL draft, it's like you're a projected first-round pick.
Yeah, you're not an underdog.
When you're an undrafted player, like Jeremy Lin was an underdog.
Yes.
No Asians make the NBA unless you're Yao Ming.
Yeah.
You went to Harvard. You couldn't even land on, like, a G League roster after playing in, like, summer leagues and practice squads. And you kept inching away, and it took multiple players getting hurt on the Knicks for to even get a shot.
An opportunity.
And you capitalized on the opportunity. And even after that, you didn't even get handed the best opportunities possible.
That's an underdog story.
Yeah. Patrick Beverley, underdog story.
Yeah.
My phone went tumbling. So there are some underdog stories that are actually underdog stories, and there's some that I would consider, like Odell Beckham, is you exceeded expectations in
life. You did a great job.
Yeah. You exceeded expectations in life. I do think, though, he deserved this one more chance of a contract.
Me too.
He did go to L.A. I saw a story today. He found out mid-season that he has no ACL.
I heard about
that. Like, is gone. And decided to play through it and then tore his other ACL during the Super Bowl, but got his ring. He is a great NFL wide receiver. He's not as good as his numbers showed to start his career, but he definitely is proving or has to prove his worth more than most superstar receivers. Because there are some guys, let's put like a Julio Jones, for example. He's pretty washed and got opportunities with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year, right? Like, you have a lot of guys that get opportunities that, you know, let's look at NBA, NFL, things like that. Like Cam Newton right now. He put a list out of players he's willing to back up. Should he be on NFL roster? Probably.
Probably he should be. Yeah, he's good enough to be an NFL quarterback.
Yeah. So there are some guys that are not dealt the best hands, I would say. Yeah. Like Dwight Howard, there's no reason he's playing in Taiwan. Like he could have Andre Drummond's like minutes this year. He could have
DeMarcus Cousins shouldn't probably be playing in Puerto
Rico. Like the Lakers signed Tristan Thompson for the offseason because he's LeBron's friend.
Yeah.
But like who would you technically expect? Who would you, if I told you right now, who would you rather have on the court in the NBA playoffs, Dwight Howard or Tristan Thompson?
Probably Dwight Howard.
Yeah. Like Dwight Howard or Andre Drummond? Probably Dwight Howard.
Probably Dwight Howard.
He's won an NBA championship. He's played in two finals. He's, you know, just overall, like, he never like, missed significant time. Exactly. I do think some people are dealt a harder hand. Carmelo Anthony recently, Carmelo Anthony was a great knockdown shooter for the Blazers last year.
Two years ago, whatever.
Despite the record, he did deserve a play. He did deserve a spot. Like, he was actually decent for the Lakers last year.
Yeah, but he was not an underdog.
Correct.
Yeah, if he came out and said, I've been an underdog my whole life, I'm like, come on, Carmelo.
That's true. Because he was not. He was the national championship and the number one pick in the draft. Yeah. Number two pick in the draft. Should have been the number one pick.
LeBron should have been.
That was a different draft.
Was no.
Yeah,
it was LeBron, year. Carmelo, Van. No,
it was Darko Milicek.
It was LeBron, Darko, Carmelo's third.
Yeah, you're right. Carmelo's 1 year older than LeBron. Yeah. LeBron went to high school. He should have been the number two pick.
Yeah.
He was the number three. Yeah, that's. And I feel like Melo would have been a good Piston.
He would have been a great Piston.
And probably might have not left to New York.
Might have had a whole different career.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they were coming off a championship a year before.
Yeah.
That same, no, the 2 years before.
No, I think year before, they had Memphis's pick.
Oh, my God, yeah, he would have been with Chauncey Billups, Rip Hamilton, Ben Wallace, Rasheed Wallace. Like, they could have made one more championship run early in his career.
Probably won it.
Tough times for the Detroit Pistons. I don't know how you got involved in this, but tough time in Detroit sports. Lions are not, like, have not won shit in 20 years. Pistons have sucked. And the Tigers.
Tigers have the second longest drought in
Major League Baseball. Tied for longest
drought in Major League Baseball.
Yeah. Sorry, Detroit. Much love, though.
Much love to Detroit.
All right. That's all we got, I think.
Perfect.
The Sports on Tap Brothers podcast. All love. We'll be back next time when you're listening to this with probably some NBA playoffs and some other topics the following week.
Whatever happens in sports, baby.
Yep. We like to say sports are fun. You can find us everywhere at The Sports on Tap in this podcast, The Sports on Tap Brothers, as I said in the beginning of the podcast. We love you all for your support. Like, subscribe, hit the review button. And George.
What's up, bro?
You know what we like to say?
Thanks for stopping by.
Peace.